It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family vacation quickly becomes memorable for all the wrong reasons. And we have an update from Glenn, the security guard. It's a good one. We'll talk in just a bit. Stick around.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to us at Real Ghost Stories, Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. You do that by going to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes, 250-some of those, new ones every week, advanced episodes of the show, commercial-free. It's all there, and you're keeping us on the air. $5 a month to do all that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is where you should insert some really exciting and wacky content right here. Ready to go. Exciting and wacky.
You know me. I'm not exciting or wacky.
Did you hear the other day? But I got nothing. Yeah. So I'm excited about the Glenn stuff.
Yeah.
Glenn's been updating us. If you're just joining the program, Glenn's a security officer at a big building. I believe it was like a hotel at one point in time. It's going through massive renovations. And he's a security person. So he's, you know, he watches the cameras, goes around, make sure that there's no nothing amiss. Mm-hmm. Nobody getting into fisticuffs in areas of the building where they shouldn't be.
That's a word you just use all the time.
I like throwing in old random words that are not used anymore. He had some amazing calls and stories into us. He contributes quite a bit in our Real Ghost Stories Online group page on Facebook if you want to join us over there. He's very active there. And some quite shocking ghostly video that he's posted. But he's got some more updates as far as what's going on. The other day, he was telling me, telling all of us, really, that there was some new security personnel that had been hired to work some of the later shifts. They ended up quitting.
Oh, they did?
Pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ladies, this is just who they were, women. I'm not saying that they quit because they were women. I'm just, that's who they were. So I'm going to refer to them as she.
It's the true story.
It's the true story of who it was. Mm-hmm. I just want to be you know,
yeah,
factual and what was going on. If it was me, I would have probably quit too. But I guess that we just got so so intense with the stuff that they were hearing and experiencing, they refused to go on to some of these areas and some of these floors. And there wasn't that they were fired. They were just like, I'm done. This is not worth it.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them whatsoever. It takes a special individual, male or female. I don't know. But there's no way in hell I'd be able to handle some of the stuff he's been going through. Anyway, we'll get an update from him in just a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories Online later in the episode. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. This is a good old long story. So sit back, relax, get freaked out, shut your eyes, and scare the kids. Here we go. Hey guys, I recalled a story that might sound a bit complicated to explain, but here we go. I think around the time I was in kindergarten, my family took a trip to California. I recall it being the summer. We went to Disneyland and a bunch of places for about a month. It's a little strange because my dad was a commercial pilot, so we traveled around every few years. My mom made sure we didn't have to move often. That was one of my fears because I didn't want to make new friends all the time. I was a bit lucky because the few times we moved were in the same areas, so some of the kids remembered me. I bounced back and forth from Rochester, Minnesota, and Madison area of Wisconsin a couple times, but still in familiar territory, so I was able to attend the same schools. My dad met a ton of people over the years, so it wasn't uncommon for him to bump into a celebrity, and even cooler because everybody loves to meet the pilots and look at all the cool stuff in the cockpit. I'm not sure how popular this guy was, but he knew one of the broadcasters of the NBA team, the Lakers, named Chuck Hearn. He would say what's going on in the game, and he had some popular thing talking about the game being over, how it's in the refrigerator. To me, it was a typical vacation. My dad was a pilot, so we all traveled around. His only problem was going to the UK because he'd get vertigo. I guess looking at the ocean for several hours messed with him, but he's still the toughest guy I know. I honestly don't remember much about Chuck Hearn. I've talked to a few people who remember him. Most of those people were from California, but you never know. We all stayed at a condo. I guess they were friends since before I was born, and it was one of the rare times they left my brother with our grandparents. They stayed at our house because he was a baby and probably wouldn't remember anything. Well, because Chuck was an announcer, we weren't supposed to talk to him too much. He wasn't rude or anything, but he avoided talking because it was what he did for a living. It was basically my parents going out to see stuff like the Hollywood sign and me and my dad telling me old stories about how it used to say Hollywood Land and some other junk old people like to brag about. They found really neat places. People might call them hidden gems, those hole-in-the-wall restaurants, but I recall a hobby shop I went to. Remember the city being Carson, mainly due to Johnny Carson still being on the Tonight Show host at the time, too. Me, also being a dumb kid, I always called it Johnny Carson City. And with my vivid imagination, my thoughts for the city was a hobby shop. Now, I don't recall the exact name of the store. It was the owner's name, so if the owner was Jenny, the place would be called Jenny's Hobby Shop, and it was a long time ago. It was easy to spot because of a clown painting on the front of the building. It looked similar to those ice cream cones with a clown on them. I looked it up, and they're called Scoops. So it was something I would easily recognize. I only went to California a few times growing up, mainly Universal Studios, Disneyland. They also have Knott's Berry Farm and some other things that are fun to experience when you're still a kid. One Christmas, we also went to some crappy place called Santa's Village, which sucked. 10 years later, my dad found out his friend Chuck Hearn had died, so he figured it would be a good excuse to attend a funeral, then stick around for a few weeks since California has so much to do. I know for a fact it was after the 4th of July. I was in high school, but it was summer break. You never really notice certain things. I never met a guy, aside from that first time we went to California. And that dude was tall. If you look up photos of Chuck Hearn or old videos, you have no idea. He was around 6'5 or something. It made me dig through old photos because I hadn't noticed how much taller he was than my dad. I guess those things don't matter when you're a kid. I was more distracted by all the cool places to go. My dad still says a stupid thing about me loving some ice cream shop called Foster's Freeze, but I don't recall any of that. I recall way more about our trip when I was a teenager. We attended the funeral. I was shaking like a leaf because so many people showed up. I saw the Lakers players, the coach, Phil Jackson, and I felt like a little person. being there. I was so tempted to ask for their autographs, but it was a funeral. And this is before camera phones, because I would have taken a million photos. And it's like, wow, Shaq's car was huge. Right after the funeral, we left. There were too many people from the news, and just getting out there, it took maybe 3 hours and a few more hours to get back to that same condo we stayed at. I had no idea how well my dad knew this guy. It was when I found out Chuck Hearn owned the condo we stayed at. I don't even remember what city it was in, but me being much older, I was able to look around and found a few photos on the walls that my dad was in and asked how he knew the guy. I found out they were friends before he met my mom, and I started to feel bad that I kept bugging my dad with so many questions because I realized we just attended a funeral for one of his close friends. I decided to leave him alone, then bug my mom to take my brother around town and me. We drove around looking for a few places we remembered, one of them being Tommy Burger, then those In-N-Out restaurants or a Mexican food place. Then out of nowhere, there it was, the Johnny Carson City Hobby Shop, and I told my mom we had to go there. The painting on the front was faded with age, but it was still there. A dorky-looking clown and everything. Now, I have a bit of a confession. I sort of lied to my brother about how awesome this place was. I always said it was the best place ever. If it had everything you could imagine there. They sold real guns there. Just a bunch of bullshit I made up because he never went there. We went in. The place didn't even have air conditioning. Dust all over the place, and the owner was a bit of an asshole. Then, even made a comment. So are you just going to look at everything, or do you plan to actually buy a damn thing? Which is a very outdated place, junk from the 80s and old stuff nobody cares to buy, and probably older stuff that I didn't even recognize. It was more like an antique shop for toys, even its own area for all those stupid Pez dispensers. We were still dressed up in fairly nice clothing from the funeral, so I talked to the owner a little bit, and he became less of an asshole, knowing we actually had some cash on us. I also knew from the way the store looked that it was likely going to be the last time I'd be there. Plus, I wanted to buy a bunch of stuff to brag about to some of my friends that basically shared the same tall tales about how cool the place was. I'm not sure how this works, but some of these owners really shouldn't put things up for sale. You ask how much something costs, and they say, oh, that's not for sale. You'd think this guy had a pull string on the back of it. It was the only thing that he was designed to say. I was getting irritated with him, and I slipped up saying, I bet if I tried buying this a decade ago, you would have sold it to me. Then he asked me where I was from and why I'm dressed up like a Mormon. So I told him we attended a funeral. During the time, I was from Minnesota, but originally Wisconsin. Soon, as I told him my dad's name, he asked if my last name was Moss. We gave each other one of those looks until he said, so is your dad still flying planes? Everything about him being an asshole completely went away, and he was cool. I hate to say he was an asshole, but yeah, until he knew my dad, I didn't like the guy. Then he asked if I attended Chuck Hearn's funeral. I actually think he said a nickname for him, like Chicken or something. He kind of looked down, mentioned that he didn't get an invite, but thought about closing the shop for the day and paying his respects, and he said, so you're the little snot your dad brought all those years ago. Everything was cool after that. He knew my dad and mentioned they all knew each other. I gave him my dad's address, then we just started talking. He told me Chuck Hearn's real name was Francis, and they did the typical stuff guys do where you joke around with your friends. He even mentioned playing that Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue, to mess with him, and he actually sold me these old G.I. Joe doll figures, or whatever you called them. He told me that my dad got him good after he owed him a few dollars and wrote a check paid to the order of Francis just to piss him off one day, and they got in a fist fight. Blew my mind. I guess these guys all knew each other from somewhere near Chicago. My mom and my brother were listening, and it actually made that hobby shop pretty cool. He obviously ran a business, so I spent like $230 on those three figures. He said that he wanted to sell them to the right person. In the back of my head, I was still not fully trusting him as a shop owner, but knowing it was the last time I'd probably be there, I wasn't leaving empty-handed. He was also laughing at those old stories where my dad had his front teeth missing, and how they all laughed because he would whistle when he talked. I picked up a few other things my brother found, things he wanted as well. The owner mentioned he was going to send my dad a Christmas card, and this was how I knew he didn't lie, because he said, I know that atheist son of a bitch needs some cheering up during the holidays. We ended up having to go, but he told me to show the G.I. Joes to my dad. He said they'd been in the shop since the place opened. So instead of me being the trustworthy kind of son that I looked up to, I looked the things up, how much they were selling on eBay. He gave me an insane deal when I thought he was ripping me off. Just one of those G.I. Joes cost more than I paid for all of them. I looked pretty stupid because back then, my car didn't have a wireless internet, so I had to plug a phone jack into my laptop and did the whole dial-up thing. Now, I also, being a good son, did give them my dad that day. My dad was quiet. I could tell he had a few drinks and was holding back tears. It's strange talking about these things because I've never really seen my dad like that. He's usually a tough guy who doesn't show emotions. So I took the G.I. Joes out and asked him if he knew about that stuff, and he froze and said, "Where did you find that? Wait, where did you find all those?" I told him I brought them from that Johnny Carson hobby shop, and he went from frozen to, "Boy, don't joke around with me. How much did you pay for these?" I told him I paid $1,400 on eBay for them, but the owner charged me a little over $200, and it was like giving somebody the coolest present ever. He picked them up like he was a kid again. But after a moment, he said, "Did you know that Chuck Hearn kicked my ass and took this one from me? Then during my birthday, he wrapped it up in a shoebox and gave it to me as a present." I was laughing at all the crazy memories he had from what he's told me over the years. These guys sounded like they met in their college years. He was telling me stuff like, "You saw the casket. He was way bigger than us. The nicest guy around, but we found ways to really piss each other off." Then around the last week we stayed there, my dad told me he wanted to meet the owner of that hobby shop, which I guess he did, and things turned out pretty cool. I was busy hanging out with my brother most of the time, and he found a bowling alley where other kids hung out, and they made fun of our accents. Eventually we got back home, and I hate talking on or taking plane flights, so I remember it pretty well. Still a few weeks before school, more stories of me bragging about how awesome the hobby shop was to make my friends jealous. Then my dad called me to the garage, his man cave, and he was telling me that he and the owner of that hobby shop drove back to Chuck Hearn's grave a few hours from where we stayed at the condo and left the G.I. Joes there. I was a little pissed off about it, telling him he should have sold them, but those were stuff he grew up with, and he actually did give me money the entire time we were in California. No loss on my end. And for someone to do stuff like that, I guess it was his way of moving on. Then around the time school started, I remember getting home from my dad. And my dad was on the phone the whole time and basically told us not to pick up the other phone in the house. He was on the phone even after the sun went down. Later on, he had me sit at the dinner table, and I actually thought I was in trouble because when your parents call you by your full name, it usually means you screwed up. They said, "Robert, we need to talk." I think in my head I probably did something dumb, but he told me he was on the phone with that guy from the hobby shop. They argued. He was too emotional to really explain it, but basically said the guy does his job for a living. Nothing makes sense. Then he was asking me if I was being funny to him. We were saying something along the lines of, "Dad, I swear I didn't do anything stupid at school. I didn't get in any fights. I promise that I didn't do anything wrong. Plus, to be honest with you guys, I was a short, fat kid in high school, so I avoided fights all the time." My dad tossed a box on the table. I even unwrapped the brown paper that was crumpled up and noticed the return address had the name Chuck Hearn on it from somewhere in California. It was a shoebox with the same G.I. Joes in it, but also with an old taped-up check that was about $2.17 that had paid to the order of Francis on it. I originally didn't want to share the story, mainly because I wanted my dad to share it. He still thinks someone played a prank on him, which is possible. We did stay at the guy's condo, and it wasn't like we had to find a hotel. I just wanted to mention how that first visit didn't feel strange. My dad told me he always had a key for the place and would only tell him he was in town and might drop by. It just sounds a little too elaborate, but my dad actually said there was a letter he didn't show me that he claims were written as a thank you note. He got pretty scared, but mentioned the letter was thanking him for attending the funeral, then an apology letter that he was sorry he won't be able to attend my dad's funeral, but to consider believing in God because he would like to punch him in the nose if he gets to heaven. He hated being called Francis. I try to think logically if maybe this got planned years before his death, but I wouldn't make much sense to assume you would die before someone else. My dad flies planes for a living. It's a pretty dangerous job, so it doesn't sound like a prank someone would put so much effort into. The reason why he doesn't have that letter was that he filed a report, fingerprinting, all that stuff, which looked into it and which the post office it came from. It really doesn't add up, and for me to go into that hobby shop doesn't add up. I was the one who was wanting to go sightseeing. I was a stupid kid who found that Johnny Carson hobby shop, and it's why he thought I was part of the whole deal. I was in Rochester, Minnesota when that package was mailed from California. I was a dumb kid in high school with other things going on. To make it even crazier, that letter, also the handwriting on the brown paper packaging, turned out to match Chuck Hearn's actual handwriting. My dad spent months finding pictures of his autographs that he swears the same handwriting after comparing it. There were a good 8 years that my dad thought the guys faked his funeral. My dad is the most skeptical guy you can meet. He doesn't believe in anything, but he freaked out after this happened. On the bright side, it did help him become closer to the hobby shop owner. They still call each other from time to time. I was right about that hobby shop not lasting much longer. It was only around for about a year or so, which is also why my dad doesn't believe the owner was mixed up with that stuff. He even told me that the owner got upset he wasn't invited to the funeral, and he thought my dad made that story up to piss him off. He even told me after he argued with the owner, the guy said, "I sold my business, and you're going to tell me that I'd give you stuff that I knew was worth something? We're not kids anymore." I knew they're on good terms now, but they had a few heated arguments. My dad still has those G.I. Joe dolls locked in his safe, along with the taped up check for Francis. I had nothing to do with that. I would have sold that junk if he'd let me keep them. You guys know I'm a Packers fan. Unless it's some autographed football from Bart Starr or Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to keep some random junk around. Sorry, I had to write so much. I know it might sound dumb, but I had to write it from my view. I really wanted my dad to write it from his point of view. He just doesn't believe in this stuff. It's so frustrating asking him to talk about it. What I have to say, Dad, Shaq and Kobe don't attend fake funerals. That shit really happened. I was bugged by my dad over 3 Halloweens ago to share this story until he finally caved in. Thanks for reading, guys. Still love the show. And hell no, I would never prank my dad. Keep up the excellent work. Go Packers and fuck the Dallas Cowboys.
That would be a terrible prank to pull on somebody and to have access to that check all these years later. I don't know. That's pretty interesting.
You plan it out? And like you have like one person say, "Hey, when I die, send this there."
But here's the thing. Those G.I. Joes were in the box.
Yeah.
And they weren't on his grave till after.
Someone would have to know that they went to the grave. You know, yeah. unless the guy, you know, just as a joke, you know, bought the G.I. Joes from that. Not the same, like the same model of G.I. Joe, the same characters. And then just, you know, assuming that the original ones, you know, they were lost to the ether and thought, "Hey, I'm going to just send some G.I. Joes to him." Yeah. Bought them elsewhere. And they're like the ones we had as kids.
I could see that, but that's, you know,
it's elaborate.
It's pretty kind of crazy. It's almost like the point of the G.I. Joes being in the box was the
proving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting.
It is very interesting. I mean, a lot of people get mail from Michael Jackson after he's gone. Get him making that one up.
I know. But
that'd be pretty exciting, though. No, it's, I don't know. I could see, you know, it sounds like they kind of, you know, as some folks say, ornery. I'd say ornery or, mm-hmm. you know, little pranks on each other.
Yeah.
That's quite an elaborate one to plan. I have nothing planned. I have no death plans for any. Just so you know, there's nothing that says, "Okay, when I die, if I die before you, mail this to somebody."
Are there invitations?
I guess, you know, I think for a funeral of that stature, probably.
Okay.
When you have, you know, limited space and there's a lot of people who would want to attend, mm-hmm. just because, you know, if you're a diehard Lakers fan, this is somebody that you heard, you know, thousands of times.
Yeah.
And if you're in the area, you know, you're going to have a lot of people just showing up, you know, paying their respects to the guy that you listened to for so long. Mm-hmm. But if you're the family, you only have so many seats and you want those that would truly be closest to the individual to sit there.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, Whitney Houston's funeral. You know, it's yes, you can come, you're by invite, but you can only have so many guests because there's only so many seats,
sure.
if you will. So something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I do have the invites ready. So
yeah.
I'm using coral blue, and it's a really nice...
Coral is not a blue.
I'm just making shit up.
Okay.
Just go with it.
No.
Go with it for a second.
No.
Like, that's a beautiful design, honey. That's great. I'm glad you have the invites planned for your funeral.
That's like a heap of trouble for me. Mail out your coral blue invites to your funeral.
Yeah.
No.
And they all have to be signed in my blood. So you have to get a little bit of blood and then
sign it
with a quill.
Not happening.
That everyone can have a piece of
No.
Be great. And I, as they bring the casket down, I want the theme from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman to be playing.
Okay, see, I figured you'd want Sailing by Christopher Cross.
I'm just going completely really thought, random.
Yeah.
And then at the end, at the close, it's the Quantum Leap theme. It's like the pastor or whatever says his last things. It's like, you know, and I hope we're church funeral ends. And then I'll send...
That's great.
Everybody's like getting up, going like, looking around like, is that the theme from Quantum Leap? Yes, it is. It would be even more funny is if you have, you know, at the funerals, you have, there's the casket, and then sometimes there's like a big photo. Mm-hmm. Of the person in a big frame. If you have just a photo of Scott Bakula next to the casket, it's not me. It's just some other random person. You're like, is this the right funeral? Yes, it's the right funeral. He's just fucking with you all. He requested Scott Bakula.
If you leave this shit in your will, it's not going to happen.
It's like Belky from Perfect Strangers.
It's not going to happen.
And then attached to the casket by a rope is a goat, a living goat, just standing there with a bale of hay. You just can stand there and eat. And there's a picture of Belky, and there's a casket. That's it. No explanation. It's just what it is.
The last thing I'm going to do when you're dead is go find a fucking goat to tie to your casket.
It's a sentence you never thought you'd have to say.
There's so many sentences I should never have to say.
Oh, that would be funny. People would be like, what the fuck? Like, yes, that's exactly right. Okay. Let's go over to Glenn and get an update from Glenn. Hi.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn. I just wanted to like let you know a couple things real quick. Now when a new guard comes to where we're at, they're updated not to go into the ballroom nor the first floor of this place. So it's kind of crazy. I just found that out the other day, which I'm now standing in the ballroom. But it was like 3 days ago before I called the last time. I actually had it was me and two other guards, and then there was a third or a fourth on the way supposed to be there for a third shift. And while we were standing there, all of a sudden at the ballroom, we heard a woman scream really loud. And there's no way to get into the ballroom because it was locked up. Well, the two guards ran really quick. I was like, go, see who it is, because it could have been somebody in trouble or something hurt. They went in there real quick, unlocked it real quick. Nobody was in the ballroom. But you could tell it was from the ballroom because the only place you could echo that high would be in the ballroom. And nobody was in the ballroom. And this has happened 3 to 4 times now, mainly during closer toward the night. About 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30-ish. It's happened about 4 or 5 times now. And every time, it's the same voice, same scream, and it sounds cut up. Like, I don't know if I explained it better, but it sounds like it's cut up. Like, it's really weird. And then, also, last week sometime, my other guard that I was with, he was walking around doing his patrols, and he was down to the first floor. He was coming up to the second floor, and all of a sudden he heard somebody coming down the steps. He walked around real quick, looked up, and he said he could hear the footsteps walking, but nobody was coming down the steps. I just figured I'd let you guys know that one, but it's still getting weird here. Like, I don't know if it's ramping up or slowing down. Just some days are worse than others. You guys have a good day. Bye.
I don't know why some days would be worse than others when everything's so active. Do you have any idea?
It's like... the living world. Some days are more, you know, things change.
Yeah, I know things change, but I'm just wondering if it's some kind of dynamic. Do the ghosts not like a specific person?
Mm-hmm.
Are they more active on certain types of weather days? You know, I'm just trying to figure out what that correlation would be.
I would think maybe it's something, I don't know if weather is the answer. It could be. But maybe the energy source is stronger on some days than others for them to manifest and do what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just kind of, you know, they look around, they're like, why don't you do what you do when you did what you did to me?
Please stop.
You know the song?
Yeah, I know that song, but stop it.
I was haunting you.
I'm going to throw my headphones at you.
People are like, come on, keep going.
No, they're not. They're like, oh my God.
Who's saying that?
I don't know.
And you did what you did. Was that one of the Jacksons?
Jermaine.
It was Jermaine, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's like his only song.
It was. R.I.P. Jermaine. Oh, he's not dead. Whoops. Let's go. Let's go to there's. By the way, kids, there is another update from Glenn coming next week.
Okay.
So, stay tuned to your podcast, because it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing the entirety of that one. Let's go to Catherine. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I wanted to tell you, my name is Catherine, by the way. I wanted to tell you a story my mom was talking about over the weekend. We had some family over, and we always do like a huge bonfire, and for some reason this one turned into ghost stories, I guess, and we were talking about creepy things, and it started because a few of my cousins actually saw a weird light in the sky, and we were not sure what it was. So anyway, my mom was telling us a story about growing up on the south side of Chicago. She actually grew up by Resurrection Cemetery, so I'm sure you know where that's at. Resurrection Mary, right? And her dad, my grandpa owned a car dealership. So lucky her, when she was a teenager, like in the 70s, she got to get free cars from my grandpa to use or whatever. I don't get a free car from my mom, by the way. But anyway, so she would get free cars. And at this particular time, one of the cars that she was driving needed an oil change or needed work done to it. So from her house to my grandpa's dealer, they had to drive down Archer Avenue. So along Archer is where Resurrection Cemetery is, and it's really, really big. I've been by there. I don't know if I've ever been in there, but when we go visit our family, we get off around there and then go down Archer, and the cemetery is really big. So anyway, she went to, bring the car back, and they had like valet service or something where someone would drive you home or drive you where you needed to go until your car was ready. So I don't know if that was just special for my mom, or I'm guessing for everybody. So she dropped the car off, and the gentleman that was driving her back, he was an older guy, so he was like in his 70s, I think. So this would have been in the 1970s that this was happening to my mom. So he probably was born like in 1900, I'm going to guess, if my math is right. And he told my mom a story about how when he was a taxi driver, that he picked up Resurrection Mary like in the 50s. I think she said the 40s or the 50s. He said that he was driving along Archer, and it was a very, very cold April or May night, which is not unusual. Around Chicago, like right now it's May and it feels like October. And so he was picking her up on a cold night, and picking a girl up that was walking alongside the road, and he saw this girl walking, but she was walking on the opposite side of Resurrection. And so he said he drove past her did a loop around and told my mom, you know, if it was my daughter, I would want someone to go check and make sure that she was okay, because she looked like she had her head down and she looked like she had some sort of dress and shawl on. I don't know if he specified a color. I don't know what her color her hair was or anything like that. My mom didn't go into that when she was telling the story. But he looped around and came back, and she was walking further up the road. She was still directly across from the cemetery. And the one weird thing that my mom said, that he said, was for the time that it took him to come back around, she should have been further up the road. And he told my mom it was almost like she wanted him to see her, because she should have been a little ways further than she was. So he pulled over, asked her, you know, are you okay? Do you need a ride? He told her, it's cold. I would appreciate a ride. Thank you. Gave him the address of where he was going, where she was going to. And he pulled up and he asked, do you want me to go to the door to make sure anyone is home with you? And she said, no, that she was all right. Thank you so much for the ride. She appreciates it. And she got out, and he said he waited for her to go up to the door, but she walked around the back of the house. So maybe there was like a back door back there. So he left, and he thought that was really interesting. And then he said a few nights later, the same thing happened to another one of his buddies that worked in the taxi service with him, only he was giving her the ride home. A same girl, they, you know, compared notes, same exact place. He did the same loop around, same exact thing. Only when he got up to where he was having a hard time finding the house, he looked in his rearview mirror and she was gone. So that's like, obviously like a different, you know, story, but I just was like, oh my God, that was so scary. It would have been scarier if my mom told it. She told it a lot better, but I thought you guys would like to hear that. Where we live, we do hear from a lot of the older people, especially when I was a kid, we would hear a lot of stories about the older people picking this girl up. So I don't know if it's an urban legend. I know there is a Mary buried in there, probably a million Marys. You know, my mom talked about when the gates got, something happened to the gates, and she did see how it looked like there was a handprint in the gates, but nobody could figure out how that happened. But her and her friends went over to check it out. So I thought you guys would like that story, and thank you. I love your podcast. You guys are awesome. Talk to you later. Bye.
So yeah, Resurrection Mary, Resurrection Cemetery, not Woodlawn Cemetery.
Yeah.
I don't know why Woodlawn, I don't know why it's ringing a bell, if it's something else or.
I don't know.
In an episode of the Grave Talks, I don't know, earlier this year, where we were talking about Haunted Chicago, I wonder if Woodlawn was mentioned in that.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what's ringing my bell. I don't know. Or I'm just nuts. There you go. Another interesting story. It's interesting to hear the firsthand stories of Resurrection Mary. Granted, they're all somewhat similar, but they still go on.
Yeah.
To this day. So there you go. Weird timing, too, on that story. I had no idea that was even in this episode, other than I knew we had a caller that had that name. That's about all I knew, and that it was audible. So the fact that we mentioned Resurrection Mary earlier, and then there's someone talking about
it. It happens a lot.
How it works. Ghosts want their shit to be known. So that wraps up today's episode of the program. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all the episodes in advance and EPP bonus episodes every single week. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.